what it'll do to keep yourself out of trouble this year. Glory to God. Last time I messed that all up last year and we had to run down to Martin's and buy more flowers, I felt so bad, you know. But anyway, you get it mixed up in your head. But the Lord has helped me through this year. Glory to God. And if you want to go ahead and stand, we're going to turn to the book of Luke chapter 10 and also 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, whenever a day like this comes up, you know, special services like Mother's Day, I really like it when the Lord will give you a specific message. However, this year He's given me a specific message for a specific group of mothers. Okay, I don't want any mothers to think they've been left out or God has not considered you or anything like that. But I really want to be obedient to what the Lord would have us to do. And I really feel like He wants to talk to a certain group of mothers. But every mother is going to have a chance to participate here around the altars. And we really, really covet your participation in the altars, especially you mothers that have already had your children and they've went through the home. So we're going to start reading in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that He entered into a certain village, this is speaking of Jesus, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was encumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Okay, the infamous story, or the famous story, of Mary and Martha. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse 15. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15. The Apostle Paul says, For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Notice the end of verse 16. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And I want to preach to you for a little while this morning on the delicate balance of motherhood. The delicate balance of motherhood. And Brother Boyer, would you pray over the service? Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. The delicate balance of motherhood. Now, I think it goes without saying that motherhood is an extremely enormous task. Now, ladies, if you've ever really gotten into a service and you've said amen and backed the preacher, now is going to be your chance. Everything you've been wanting to tell your family is going to be expressed in the sermon, man. And if you're really going to be able to get into it, right now is the time. So motherhood is an enormous task. Amen. Glory to God. It's all-encompassing to a lady, isn't it? I mean, everything she is, everything she stands for, everything that she consists of is all about being a mother. It's just the way that it is. I mean, after all, just think of everything that being a mother entails. Because first of all, she holds the great responsibility of raising and nurturing her children. It's not some little thing, it's important. Because it consists of her correcting them, of her instructing them, disciplining them, discipling them, protecting them, taking care of them, befriending them, and most of all, being an example to them. So we see it's an enormous task. It's a huge undertaking. It's a massive responsibility. I mean, just look at that alone. But if she's a mother, then she's also a wife. Most times. Which makes her responsibilities even greater because then she's got to take care of that husband of hers, doesn't she? Guys, we need it, don't we? Amen. Amen. She needs to make sure that she's giving 100% towards her marriage, because it's not 50-50 like those freaks on the radio will try to tell you. I mean, if you want to have 100% marriage, the guy's got to give 50, the woman's got to give 50, and it'll equal 100. That's not the way that it works. If you want your marriage to survive, she's got to give 100, and so does the man. So we see this great responsibility. She's got to give all of her life to please her husband and be a faithful and a loving helpmate to him. So that's an enormous task within itself. It's piling up here, isn't it, folks? And as a mother, she also is expected to maintain numerous tasks within the home, such as cooking, cleaning, organizing, planning, doing all the laundry, doing all the dishes, being a taxi cab driver for her kids and all the things that they need to do, general upkeep of the home. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. It's almost as if a mother's list of responsibilities never ends. Think about it. It never ends. From the minute she wakes up in the morning, she's on it. All kinds of things she's got to take care of, till the very minute she steps foot in her bed at night. Constantly busy with all the tasks that she has to do. So in my opinion, a real good description of the role of motherhood would be found in the old slogan of the Peace Corps. You remember that? The Peace Corps, the toughest job you'll ever love. Motherhood. It's the toughest job you'll ever love. I mean, you don't ever see a mom saying, "Man, I wish I wasn't a mother anymore." Right? But I'll tell you what, sometimes I bet they wish they could have seen it. And the reason why is because motherhood is such an enormous responsibility. And because of the sheer extent of a mother's responsibilities, they are constantly demanded of and continually being called upon. I know in my house, my wife fulfills her responsibilities as a mother as good as I could ever possibly ask for. And I don't know how she hasn't lost her mind just from hearing the one word all day long. Mommy. 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 And I'll tell the kids, I said, there's a daddy here too, but it doesn't matter. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And it seems like many times they're expected to go all throughout their day performing task after task after task, oftentimes without any rest or any break in between. Like a mother's a cross between a workhorse and a robot. And you got to think about that for a second, fellas, because when you're at work, you get a morning break, you get a lunch break, and you get an afternoon break. That's usually the way that it works. I mean, I've done all kinds of different jobs, and that's the kind of things that I experienced, whether I was working in a trailer factory or tool and die or whatever the case might be. I mean, she doesn't get any breaks, period. Hey, moms, can you go up to your kids and say, you know what, it's my lunch break. You guys go ahead and leave me alone for a good half hour. I'm going to do my thing for right now. It doesn't work like that. But a lot of times people don't think about that stuff. So needless to say, any time that person is put under a tremendous load like a mother is, day after day after day, it's going to be extremely taxing on them in every way. And what I mean by every way is it's going to be taxing on them emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So fulfilling the role of a mother literally redefines words like overwhelming, hectic, stressful, chaotic, nerve-wracking. I mean, when you're describing the workload of a mother, as well as the toll that that responsibility takes on her as a person, all those words just seem weak and watered down. And I'll tell you what, every year I get a good strong taste of just how weak and watered down those words seem, Sister Seaman, when my wife goes on a ladies' retreat. Which I think that they're ordained of God, but also in some ways created from hell itself. And I'm going to explain to you why. Because that means for 2.5 days, I've got to be left alone with my kids. Now, don't get me wrong, I love my kids, they're wonderful children. But I ain't used to that stuff, folks. I'm out of my comfort zone in a big way. You know, she'll come back and, well, while she's gone, she'll say, how's everything going? And she just gets kind of a sick, twisted pleasure in asking that stuff. But you know, what I'll do is I'll cook for them, but now Cree and Sage really help me a lot doing that kind of stuff. And I'll keep the house picked up, not cleaned like my wife does, but picked up. And I'll try to do my best, and I really try hard, but by the end of those 2.5 days, she comes home, and have you ever seen like when a POW will get out of the plane, you know, from a foreign land on U.S. soil, and they get down and they kiss the ground? So I feel like doing to her feet when she gets out of the minivan and say, "Oh, honey, you're finally back." Why? Because it's stressful. But unfortunately, at the same time, the fact of the matter is that all the responsibilities that a mother needs to bear still need to be done. And I'm not saying that unsympathetically. I'm trying to get you moms to understand that as your pastor, I really understand what you have to go through. I got a lady at home right now that can't even come to church on Mother's Day because two of our kids are sick. It never ends. But the fact of the matter, even though it's so stressful and it's so overwhelming day in and day out, everything that is required of a mom still has to take place. Because regrettably, a mother's responsibilities don't go away just because there's stress involved. And their duties don't diminish just because of the enormity of their task. Now, you think that's the way it should be, but it just doesn't work that way. And because of that, the sheer weight of the load that they carry as moms really starts to take their toll on even the most diligent of mothers. It's unavoidable. How do you not get wore out being required of all day long? How do you not get overwhelmed when you never get a break? And the worst part about it is that oftentimes, everything that a mother does is taken for granted. To the point that the amount of work that they do and all the responsibilities that they have are grossly overlooked, they're underestimated, they're unappreciated, and they're flat out taken for granted. That's sad, but it's true. Okay? Many times their work goes unnoticed. Now, let's stop right here and kind of recap what we've been talking about. She gets up in the morning. She's required of all day long. She never gets a break. She's overwhelmed. She's stressed. It's driving her absolutely crazy. Not that she doesn't want to be a mom. Not that she doesn't want to do a good job. But it's unavoidable, man. You're constantly demanded of. And it's about ready to drive her crazy. And then nobody even notices all the stuff that she does. Guys, I want you to think about it like this. How would you feel if you went to work day after day, week after week, month after month, and you never got a stinking paycheck? There's a satisfaction in working hard and getting a paycheck in your hand. There's a reward. I mean, you see it. It's tangible. You think, man, okay, this is what I've been doing this for. But what if you never got one? Or what about if you came home after working all those hours and doing everything you do for your family and they were completely unappreciative of it? And your wife never said, "Well, honey, I just want to thank you for all the things that you provide for us." Or your kids never said, "You know, Dad, I realize that you really work hard so that we can have a good life and we really appreciate it. We're thankful to have a dad like you." But instead, everything you did every single day, the 40 to 60 hours a week that you worked, was completely unnoticed. And nobody ever appreciated or expressed appreciation for anything that you ever did. Do you think that'd go over very well? A lot of times that's what it's like being a mom. And because of the load that they're under, and because of the lack of acknowledgement and encouragement that they received, a lot of times you want to know what they're left feeling like? Frustrated. Wore out. Or like Paul said, they get very weary and well-doing. And rightfully so. So if there's anyone that can relate to what Paul was saying in the last text that I read to you, it should be a mom. Because if there's anyone that has understood and experienced their outward man perishing, it ought to be them. Does that make them weak? No. Does it make them unspiritual? Well, wait, Paul was saying, though my outward man perish, he was admitting that it took place in his life. So does that make a mother weak? Because she experiences the same thing. How couldn't she, folks? It's unavoidable. Inescapable. But a mother can also relate to the other portion of Scripture that we read, which was the story of Mary and Martha. Because in it we see two different roles that every mother is just expected to achieve and fulfill on a daily basis. It's just expected of them. Now notice the two roles that are found here. First of all, we see the role of Mary. Amen. We see her with diligence and dedication sitting at the feet of Christ, learning of Him and drawing near unto Him and seeking out His will for her life and with all of her heart and saying, God, all I want to do is know You and be next to You and taking care of the spiritual side of things. So that's the first role. But then we also see the role of Martha, who with the exact same type of diligence and dedication is meeting all the tremendous and numerous responsibilities of the home. All the cooking. All the cleaning. All the serving. So we see two roles in the same story. And both of those roles are something that everybody just seems to expect a mother to fulfill within her oneself. Even the moms feel that way about themselves. Fulfill two roles in one life. You know, it's funny how a mom's expected to be the perfect worker and the perfect worshiper all at the same time. But what I want you to understand this morning is that's an extremely delicate and difficult balance for a person to maintain. Okay? And while it might be impossible to be perfect in either one of those areas, and while it might be extremely difficult to maintain a delicate balance like that in your life, the fact of the matter is despite how overwhelming it might be, both of those areas in one mother's life are still essential. Again, I want the moms to understand, I'm not being unsympathetic. I just want to teach you what the Word of God has to say and the way that I think the Lord really wants to speak to some mothers' hearts this morning. I mean, I realize it's a tremendous task. It's overwhelming. It's the most stressful thing that anybody could ever undergo. But the fact of the matter is it's still required. And it's not just required. It's essential to your spiritual life. So it's no wonder why it's so easy for a mother to find herself feeling just like Martha did in our text. Amen. Where she finds herself both careful and troubled at the same time. Because notice what we're told in verse 41. It says, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." And when you look at this text, you can see she was extremely diligent in the physical side of things. She was taking care of everything. I mean, Mary was just sitting at the feet of Christ. No other ladies mentioned, you know, taking care of anything else in the home. And yet we see Martha being extremely diligent to fulfill that area. But she was all but totally lacking in the other. I mean, from the physical side of things, man, she had it taken care of, Brother James. She was doing everything that anyone could possibly expect. But when she went to Jesus and started to complain about it, I mean, He says, well, wait a second. You're careful and you're troubled about many things. And then He helped her to see that there was something that she was missing out on in her spiritual life. And I want you to understand that's a very, very dangerous place to be. But have you ever wondered what made her decide that if she was going to lack in one of those areas, why she chose to let it be the spiritual side of things instead of the physical? I mean, think about it. Both of those things are required of every single mom. I mean, so you're thinking, you know, if she's going to be lacking in one of those things, why did she lack in the spiritual instead of the physical? Well, I think there's two primary, you know, main factors, two main reasons. Number one, because her physical duties were the part of her responsibilities that everybody could see. She's having folks come over this day, you know. They walk into a filthy home. Everybody's going to notice it as soon as they walk in. But they ain't going to know how much she prayed that morning. I mean, if they come in and they see a pile of dishes, you know, overflowing onto the countertop, I mean, they're going to take notice of that. They're going to start to talk about her and say, man, have you gotten a load of this? But the fact of the matter is, they're not going to know whether or not she read her Bible the night before. I mean, if they go to use the restroom and the toilet bowl's so dirty that there's lily pads growing out of the thing, I mean, it's going to be kind of a giveaway that she's lacking in her physical responsibilities. But they're not going to have any idea about the spiritual side. So I think one of the main reasons that she chose, man, if I'm going to be lacking in one thing, I'm going to give myself to the physical things, because after all, everybody's going to talk bad about me and everybody's going to notice what a wretch I am if they come into my house and they see this. But then the second reason I think this happens is because Satan was doing everything in his power to keep this woman so preoccupied with the physical that she didn't have any time for the spiritual if she tried. In other words, she's hustling about, she's doing all the things she's supposed to be doing in the physical, and she becomes so tired and so stressed and so overwhelmed that all she wanted to do at the end of the day was sit down and rest, not kneel beside her bed and start praying, because she didn't have the energy. She's wiped out. Didn't have it in her. Now, we need to understand that the Lord wasn't telling her, you know, and rebuking her in a mean and a total nasty way. But what he did is he said, listen, he saw this taking place in her life when she came and started to complain and said, Lord, I'm doing all this physical stuff. My sister's just sitting down at your feet. Won't you tell her to get up and help me out a little bit? And he said, Martha, one thing is needful, meaning her spiritual life. Now, we need to understand that he wasn't saying that Martha should ignore and neglect all the other responsibilities that she had to do. He wasn't giving a golden ticket to the ladies, you never have to clean your house again, just spend hours in devotion every day. He wasn't saying, go ahead and let your kids come to church with peanut butter and jelly in their hair and, you know, filthy clothes and just turn them inside out so nobody knows. That's not what he was saying. But he was simply saying that as she started to perform all her tasks for that day, the Mary side of things had to take first priority. See, a lot of people read that text and they think that it's teaching us that we either have to be a Mary or a Martha. You hear a lot of people respond that, you know, oh, she's a real Martha. I mean, she's got a servant's heart. Or, oh, she's a real Mary, man. She's willing to look past people's faults. But that's not what this text is teaching us at all. It's not teaching us that it has to be one or the other. You either have to be the perfect worshiper or the perfect worker. But it's teaching us that there has to be a balance between the two. Because if Mary was spending all of her time at Jesus' feet, nothing was going to get done inside that house. And if Martha just sat around and didn't do anything but scrub and clean, she wasn't going to get anywhere with God. So we see that the word that Charles Wesley, he had an old poem that he said this, and it shows the delicate balance that a mother has to have in their life. It says, to be faithful to my Lord's commands, I choose the better part, which is to serve with Martha's careful hands and to love with Mary's heart. Now, wait a second, Wesley. I thought you said that you were going to choose the better part. We got Mary. We got Martha. There's two parts. What are you talking about? I mean, it says, to be faithful to my Lord's commands. In other words, he wants to be faithful to God. He wants to be pleasing in his sight. He wants to do everything that's required of him. He says, so what I'm going to do to fulfill that is I'm going to choose the better part. Mary Martha. He says, I'm going to go ahead and serve with Martha's hands. And I'm going to love with Mary's heart. In other words, I'm going to make sure that I have a delicate balance between both of those things so that everything God requires and expects of me can be fulfilled in my life. And folks, that's the balance that every single mother has to learn to maintain. And I stress the word learn because it is not going to come naturally. When you have such an overwhelming task of everything that's put on a mother's plate that we're talking about this morning, they have to learn to maintain it. And not just because it's expected of them, but they need to do it because it's absolutely essential to their entire being. Okay? Because like I said, maintaining that balance is not an easy thing to do. Now, the reason it's so essential for their entire being is because, ladies, you know, there might be some ladies here who are just absolutely diligent in keeping their house clean. But if you don't spend time in your devotion, despite how clean your house might be, do you feel good about yourself at the end of the day? No. Why? Because there wasn't a balance. Or you might be here and you spend 4 hours a day in devotions with God. You spend 3 hours praying and 1 hour studying, and man, you put everybody else to shame. But when you wake up in the morning and you've got dishes falling down onto your kitchen floor, do you feel good about yourself? No. Why? Because there's not a balance. And so it's very important that that balance is there, but it's not an easy thing to achieve. And there's a tremendous danger of a mother trying to maintain both of these things in her life while she's trying to put priority on one that she shouldn't be putting priority in before the other one. And it always turns out, more times than not, that a lady gets more wrapped up in keeping the house clean and all the physical responsibilities than they do the spiritual side of things. Why? Because it's what everybody notices. If you're going to have to slack off and get away with something, I mean, it's going to be a lot easier for it to be your spiritual life because nobody's really going to know, right? And when that happens, it only results in this mother becoming frustrated, her outward man perishing, and experiencing the very thing that the Apostle Paul was warning us about in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, where she becomes very, very weary in her well-doing. There's no satisfaction in her life because that balance isn't there. So if we want to see the mothers that we have in our lives be able to maintain this delicate balance of motherhood, there's three things that are going to have to be taking place in their lives. Okay? And the first thing that has to happen for a mother to maintain this delicate balance in her life is she is going to have to give herself to early morning prayer. Now, I preach early morning prayer all the time. You guys know that I believe in it. But if a mother is ever going to have this balance inside of her life, it is going to have to be a discipline that is firmly established or this balance is never going to take place. I mean, if she's going to maintain that balance, then she's going to have to make sure that she takes care of the Mary part of her responsibilities before the Martha part of her responsibilities ever even start. Okay? Because once the Martha part starts to begin, and all them kids wake up, and all the messes start to be made, and all the dishes start to pile up in the sink, and the homeschool lessons begin, or whatever your situation might be at home, there isn't going to be any time to be like Mary and just leisurely lay at Jesus' feet. Because it's kind of hard to do when you're holding a load of laundry and two kids of your own on your feet. It just doesn't work. After all, you know, a lot of people just say, well, you know, I mean, that's just part. No, it's not just part of it. They're not superheroes. They don't fly around the home with a cape and a dustbuster in one hand and a Bible in the other. It just doesn't work that way. So steps are going to have to be taken or this balance is not going to be achieved. And if she waits until later to fulfill this devotional side in her life, there's two very dangerous pitfalls that are more than likely going to keep her from spending the quality time with God that she should. Number one, she's going to get so busy that she runs out of time. And number two, if she does have the time at the end of the day, she's going to be too tired to even focus on what she's supposed to be doing. And the only way to make sure that she does get that quality time with God is by her already having it done in the morning, where she can't be distracted or interrupted. And when she isn't already weary and wore out from everything she had to do during the day. And when her mind's still fresh so that that devotional time with God can be rich and meaningful like the Lord desires for it to be. Okay? Folks, the fact of the matter is that there is no real way to stop a mother's outward man from perishing. She's too busy. Too required of it. It's too stressful, too overwhelming. It's not going to happen. But there is a way to make sure that her inward man is renewed day by day so that that is balanced out in her life and she doesn't lose out with God altogether. And you want to know how the first step we're going to have to make sure that she's taken time to pray in the morning before all that stuff even starts. The second thing that's going to happen for a mother to maintain that delicate balance in her life is the people that love her and live in the same home with her need to do all they can to help her have that delicate balance in her life. Okay. But how can they help her both maintain the Mary and the Martha side of things? Well, they can encourage her. I was amazed at how encouraged my wife was this last time she got back. And I said, oh, honey, I'm so glad you came back. You know, I was trying to do... Now, I didn't homeschool our kids like she does every day. I didn't clean the house. I just kept it picked up. It was only 2.5 days. And I mean, I was just overwhelmed, okay? She gets back, I start expressing this all to her, and she's just laughing. And just really got a joyous look. I mean, just a sick appreciation of my failure and hardship. You know, and she's going through all this, and she even called up one of her friends and said, "Oh, it's so funny. You ought to hear Jason. Man, he's going on and on about how rough he had it for 2.5 days. What a wimp. He can't take, you know, what we got to take," and all this stuff, and was just really getting a kick out of it. You know, and I was glad that it encouraged her. Because I'll tell you what, if I go out and I work hard all day long and you come back in the house and they act like it's no big deal, it upsets me. When you say, "Hey, listen, man, I realize the job that you do is no easy task. It's difficult, it's overwhelming, it's stressful. Try it." Also, we need to show our appreciation for what they do. Like I said, guys, if we came home and you know, and nobody ever said, "Well, man, I'm really glad that you work, you know, for our family the way that you do," and all these different things. If we never got that, man, that wouldn't sit very well. But when's the last time you came home and said, "Honey, I'm glad that I have a clean shirt to wear to church this morning. I'm glad that I don't have to eat, you know, granola bars every single day because you're too lazy to cook." I'm serious. Or guess what else you could do, guys? You could actually help her. Guess what, kids? You could actually help your mother. Now, here's what a lot of people don't understand, or if they do, they just do not want to acknowledge. If you work a factory job, let's say you go in at 6 and you get off at 4:30. When you get off at 4:30, what do you say? "I'm off work." Well, I wish she had that luxury. She ain't got a time card. The kids don't go to somebody else's house. They say, "I'm off work." The house doesn't start to clean itself. I mean, it's not like one of those Disney movies where all of a sudden, you know, all the dishes jump in the sink and wash themselves and put themselves away in the cupboard, and all the laundry just floats magically downstairs and jumps inside from the hamper down into the washing machine and then magically to the dryer and then hang themselves on the hangers and fold themselves and put them. It doesn't happen like that. So how can you think that you're off work when she never gets to be? "Well, I had a hard day at school. I'm in the middle of exams, Dad." Your mom was in the middle of putting up with you all day long. Is it making sense? But that's the mindset that we have a lot of times. I mean, we want her to have all these things. It's expected. You've got to take care of the physical, honey, and you've got to take care of the spiritual, but we're not going to help. It's just expected. Wow. Every time I read the story of Mary and Martha, I can't help but to think about the way that Martha must have been feeling. Here's what she said in verse 40. It says, "But Martha was encumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.'" And I can just see her. I mean, if we're going to talk about this and really let it play in our minds, she's coming up and saying, "Man, can anybody in this house help me? I mean, am I the only one that knows how to clear a table? Am I the only one that knows how to clean up after themselves? Am I the sole person that understands that a home isn't, you know, in Disney?" And folks, no doubt the mothers in your life very well might be feeling the exact same way. And unfortunately, it is keeping them from the Mary side of things. You expect the Martha, but if the Mary ain't there, Martha might move out. So we need to make sure that we're doing our part. Here's what I mean. I get home sometimes, and sometimes I got to work real late hours, have a real stressful day, different things go on, and I come home, and guess what? My wife's stressed out too. Homeschooling all of our kids, taking care of the things. My house is never dirty. I appreciate everything that she does, but guess what? Even though she stays at home and doesn't have to go, she's still stressed out and overwhelmed when I get home. And just because my day was stressful, I can't say, "Well, I'm selfish and all important, so it doesn't really matter what your day was like." I mean, because we still have to do this particular thing. I mean, the girls still need a bath. All these things still need to take place. The dishes need to be done. I mean, the dinner needs to be made. I can't just say, "Well, I'm off work now because I work more hours than usual, so you go ahead and do everything." What do you think it would mean to a mother if a child came home from school and said, "You know what, Mom? You know, I watch what you do every single day, and tonight you are not doing the dishes. I'm not going to allow it to take place." What if a kid would say, "You know what, Mom? You're never going to do the dishes again. Because after all, I got two hands. And it's not just to hold a 360 controller in my hand all day long or some Nintendo DS. I mean, I actually can work even though that I'm not of age and punch a time card." She doesn't punch one either. But she sure takes care of you. Well, third thing that has to happen for a mother to maintain the delicate balance in her life is we need to pray that God would enable them and honor them for the important roles that they fulfill. Since we know what a tremendous burden that a mother has to carry, and because of the fact that we love them so dearly, we need to make sure that our early morning devotions consist of us interceding for them before their day even begins. That God would bless these mothers that have such an overwhelming task before they even get up and have to face it. We need to pray for them every day that God would help them, that God would enable them, that He'd encourage them, and that He would give them all the strength that they're going to need, both mentally and physically, just to get through everything that's expected of them. And most of all, we need to pray that God would bless them tremendously for the important role that they fulfill. And we need to pray and say, "God, you know, to the same extent that they give themselves to our home and everything that's done, I pray that You'd come down and bless them to that same extent in their lives." Think about that. That He would bless them from the minute they get out of bed until they lay down to go to sleep at night. Because after all, that's how she's given herself, right? I mean, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, it says this: "But this I say, that he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully." Pray that for your mom. Pray it for your wife. "God, you see the task that's in front of her. God, I pray that You come down, just not enable her, but God, bless her all through the day in the same way that she gives herself for us." And you'd be amazed at the difference it would make for her. When somebody just acknowledges some of the things that she does. Doesn't ever get a paycheck, but she's expected to manage everything well. Nobody ever says thank you, just expects everything to be done. Just, folks, it shouldn't be like that. So here's what we're going to do. And brother, if you can just play some music, because Sister Adame is a mom, and she needs to come and pray just like all the other moms. But I want to close this service in a very specific way. First of all, I'd like to have all the mothers that still have children in their home to come and gather around the altars and just stand in a line here in the front. Because they are, right now as we speak, they are under the tremendous burden of experiencing everything that we just got done talking about. And it ain't easy like what we think it is. So ladies, if you could go ahead and come. And if there's some of you that would choose not to, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. But if these ladies would like to come, I mean, because they're going to understand, they're going to say, "You know what? Sometimes Kincaid, you know, when he gets to preaching this and this and this, but I'll tell you what, he was dead on today. Boy, he was dead on today." And then next, what I'd like to see is all the mothers that have already been there and done that. Okay? And your kids are out of the home. I mean, you know exactly what I'm talking about, but you're not experiencing it right now. But you're saying, "You know what, Pastor Kincaid? I remember exactly what you're talking about, and I wish somebody would have preached that back then like you are right now." I'd like you to come and gather behind these ladies, because if anybody is going to have a burden to intercede for them, it's going to be you. And then I'd like everyone else, if they would, to come and gather behind these ladies. And what we're going to do is we're going to do two things. Number one, obviously, we're going to begin to pray for them. Okay? And then secondly, we're going to commit ourselves to doing everything that we can to help them have that delicate balance they need to have when it comes to being a mother. Because folks, as the people of God, we just assume that the blessings of God are just going to fall down, you know, from heaven, and just, it's not the way that it works. You have to work for it. Provisions have to be put in place. And I don't want my wife and I don't want my mom to have to, you know, go through life just skimming through or just hoping that everything's going to work out. But I want them to know, and all the ladies of this church to know, that your pastor is praying for you because I understand the things that you've got to go through. Amen. Let's go ahead and come. Come on, folks. Let's get up and come down here. We're going to pray for these moms. They need it. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. Lord, we love You so very much. And Lord, we pray for these dear mothers. Lord, You see the tremendous responsibility that they have upon their lives. You see how overwhelming, how stressful it is. Amen. From the minute they wake up in the morning to the second they lay down to sleep at night, they're demanded of continuously. Lord, and the thing is this stress and this overwhelming feeling is never going to go away. It's always going to be expected of them. So, Lord, they need Your help. Amen. It's the toughest job that they love, God. They don't want to turn away from it. But in the midst of serving You so diligently and being so dedicated to You and trying to fulfill this delicate role that You want to establish inside of their lives, God, I pray that You would enable them with divine power to do it. God, that You would come and undertake. God, bless them for the way that they bless their families. Touch them and empower them in the same way that they give themselves. Lord, we pray that You'd come and make up all the difference. And Lord, at the same time, as husbands and as children, Lord, we pray that You would help us to be an encouragement to our moms and our wives. To let them know how much we appreciate everything that they do. To try to help them in every way that we can to make that delicate balance a little bit easier to maintain. Lord, we pray that You'd help us to not be so self-centered or just concerned with ourselves that we overlook and just expect them to do this enormous task. Why do we just go about and we punch out our times card and say that our day's done? Lord, I pray that You'd help us to give ourselves 100% to our families instead of just giving 50% like all the radio shows tell you you need to. Oh, Lord, we pray that You would bless these moms, God. Lord, we pray that You would bless these mothers that are veterans that have already been that and done that. Lord, we pray that You'd come down and that You would touch them for the diligence that they gave and that they still give to their kids. Lord, we pray that You'd bless them, touch them, encourage them, God. Do what only You can do. Lord, You put such an amount of responsibility upon a mother, and that tells us one thing. It's You plan to come down and enable them to do everything that You require. Lord, what a wonderful compliment to these lovely ladies that we have in our church. God, I pray that You'd touch them and that You'd move and that You'd honor them in every way, Lord, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, we thank You. Lord, we thank You. Lord, don't let this just be a time around the altars where it's brought to our recollection, Lord, and we realize that we're lacking in giving these moms the attention and the support that they need. But Lord, help us to dedicate ourselves around these altars to support them all the week through for the rest of our lives. Lord, the devil's not going to stop fighting. Amen. This job is not going to get any easier and they need all the support they can possibly get. Help these moms to realize that before their day ever begins, they need to be filled with the power and the Spirit of God if they're ever going to go out and successfully face this daunting task. Lord, help them to see that early morning prayer and devotions is absolutely essential for them. It's not optional. It's a requirement. And that's when you want to meet with them and pour yourself into them so that everything that they're going to have to face throughout that day, regardless of how overwhelming it is to them, you're going to give them the ability to be able to do it. Lord, you're going to fill them with a joy inside of their hearts instead of dreading it all the day long. God, come down and prove Yourself mighty on their behalf, Lord, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Folks, I want to encourage you here. How many times have you ever come around the altar and you made a commitment to God that you forgot about the next day? Okay. It happens all the time. But you want to know one way that it won't happen? Is if you come up with a plan and you make yourself accountable. Now, people don't like to make themselves accountable, but guess what? your pastor just made you accountable and you didn't even know it. Because guess who's going to be watching out for you all throughout this next week, fellas and kids? These moms are. And if you don't think what they experienced, the hardship and all the overwhelming stuff that's going on, you know, I was thinking as I was praying about this, Sister Ellison got three kids. You got a beach ball in her stomach right now, trying to do everything she's gonna, you know, gotta get done. You think that's easy? They need our help. And if there's anything that we ought to commit ourselves to, it's our wives and our moms. So I want to encourage you. Come up with a plan. And what I mean by that, how are you planning to help them? You want to know what would bless them more than anything? Is when you turn around to walk out of here and you say, you know, when Pastor said that kid could say that my mom ain't never going to wash a dish again, well, my wife isn't going to. That doesn't make you weak. It makes you a help. You kids, you want to see a difference in your mom? Come up with some kind of plan. Help her out. Instead of always expecting her to do, and you get, but you never willing to give. Relationships are always 100% and 100%, or they don't work. 50-50 is for the bird, because that leaves half of a person on the other side. You're meeting half of their needs instead of all of them. Amen. 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 Be a blessing to your mom. Be a blessing to your wife.